the saga of firefighters having to deal with removing items from gentlemen's Johnsons.
Honestly.
So finally, in Germany, they have decided to have firefighters undergo training on how to remove butt plugs and penis rings. Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmari, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Casimir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
Because yeah. I don't know what that is. So we have had some correspondence with our dear listeners. Thank you guys so much. If any of you want to interact with us, you can find us on Twitter at Hey You Know It, or you can email us at heyyouknowit@gmail.com, and we will respond to you. We won't give away your name or save your information or any of that kind of stuff. We are GDPR compliant.
Yeah, right. Yes.
Whatever that means.
Gross.
Something.
Domestic product?
Europe.
Okay.
Europe, no scam, right. No steal.
No scamming, no stealing, no...
Yeah, no Facebook weirdness.
Yes, we basically answer your email, and then even protect you on the air by not saying your full name.
Yeah, we give you a nom de on air.
Yes. Okay, so this is from Katrina.
Yay!
Okay.
Long-time listener.
Yeah, she says, hello again, Jaquetta and Katie. Hello. I saw this and immediately thought of you. It's more financial than personal advice, but the first comment I saw on Twitter was from a woman saying, dump him.
Oh.
So it's definitely about the dynamics of this relationship as well as about home equality. All best, Katrina.
Okay.
So thank you so much, Katrina, for reaching out
to us. Yeah, so this is a listener mail advice on advice. Advice on advice is a segment where we find advice on the internet, or Katrina does. And it stinks.
And it's unqualified.
And we improve upon it by giving our advice on that advice. So here it is.
Okay. My partner wants me to pay him rent.
Huh?
So I...
Girl, run.
So I get equity in his house?
Ooh.
All right.
Oh, he owns... Okay.
All right. I spent more than a decade renting, and I'd like some security that I'm not wasting my money. So the question is, after being in a relationship for 3 years, my partner and I decided to live together. He bought a home, so I moved in with him.
Okay.
He has spent a lot on renovating the house, and we're very comfortable and happy there, albeit that I don't own any of it. I am in my 30s. I have the means to buy a place myself, and ideally that is what I would have liked to do before I moved in with my partner.
Okay.
I've spent more than a decade paying rent at various houses while deciding where to settle down, and I really don't want to be paying rent anymore, as I feel like it's throwing money into the wind.
Yes.
However, my partner expects me to pay him rent.
This is a difficult one. It depends on the nature of your relationship.
Yeah, we haven't discussed details of how much yet, but it will be in the hundreds per month. And because I see that this relationship will probably be a lasting one, I know he sounds like a bastard, but he's a really nice guy,
mm-hmm. This
is not viable in the long term. I would prefer to pay him monthly and get something in return, like a percentage of the house or something.
Ooh.
Basically, I'd like some security that I'm not wasting my own money.
Gotcha.
Ah.
This is a difficult one. Okay, so before we get into this, because I had before I met my husband, we first started dating, I was buying a place.
Uh-huh.
I moved into the place. I think we've been dating for like a year. I asked him to move in with me, and I guess the expectation was that we would kind of split expenses.
Yeah,
because I wasn't thinking about it in any other framework.
Mm-hmm.
And if he were living by himself, it would have cost him more.
Yeah.
But I think I also had an eye towards that this was,
a lasting
long-term thing. So this is a difficult situation because if I were living with somebody, and I have done this in the past, I would automatically pay rent.
Yeah.
To help with the expenses. Why not?
But if they're owning it.
Even if they own it. So like if you, okay, we're friends, mm-hmm. obviously.
Yeah.
If you bought a house and I moved into it, of course I would contribute to your mortgage because I'm living in it. But also like, hey, why not? Why should I live there for free?
Well, if you're living there and we're friends, the idea is that we're not going to be partners. We're not owning this thing together.
It doesn't matter. I'm still there.
Yeah. But the idea is that like, it's just, you are continuing your renting process. Like if you weren't living at my house, you'd be mm-hmm. renting somewhere else.
And I'd be paying more.
Yeah, but this is, all right. So
and not living in a house.
Right.
So I think that I'm getting a deal.
But you're not going to be there forever either, unless we're really old.
Yeah, but so I guess the idea is, well, yeah, I don't mind contributing to the person's mortgage. But it's either I live there for free and don't put anything into it and have them subsidize my living, or I move out and pay twice as much somewhere else and not live with the person.
Then
I'm thinking like that. Those are what I think are my options. I would never think about living off of somebody.
Right. Well, if I had a house and you live there, I'd be like, cheap rent.
Yeah.
You'd be paying something. So it's good for you. It's good for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's not going to break anybody's bank.
Otherwise.
But the thing is also you can go.
Yeah. Sure.
We're not in a romantic relationship.
Yeah. But she can also go.
Yeah.
But it's the end of the relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
At the same time. So. And it's weird. So she wants to live there for free or she wants to get equity in the place, which I think is really kind of doesn't make sense because she didn't put in down payment on that place.
Yeah. Yeah, she did.
So she doesn't mind paying a stranger's mortgage if she's renting from a landlord, but she doesn't want to pay her partner's mortgage. That's what it sounds like to me.
Right. Well, then, so they may be... have a long-term relationship. They may get married.
Yeah.
They didn't say married.
In which case, she's merely just contributed to her own mortgage.
Yeah.
But if they don't get married, she hasn't lost anything because she's probably paying cheap rent.
Yeah. If it is cheap.
If she wasn't living there, he could have somebody else living there paying more rent than she would pay.
Right.
Because you would charge someone who's not your partner and not a friend more money. Like, they would pay a market rate to live there.
And so,
hopefully she's getting a cheaper rate. I would feel uncomfortable not paying.
Yeah. Well,
how would you feel?
Well, she could also buy her own place right now. And so they could continue the relationship and just have two different places.
And have two different places. But, like, would you feel comfortable living with somebody and not contributing to the rent or the utilities?
No, not really. Somehow.
Yeah. And if it's not monetary, you work something out.
Yeah, that's right.
Sweat equity or something.
Yeah,
you know.
No, but you usually, and since a lot of times in a lot of relationships, and I'm saying not saying every relationship, but there is an inequality in what women and men make. If we're talking about those kinds of relationships.
And then, and those situations I've been in, like even when I've been living with a group of people, the person who didn't have as much money paid less and had a smaller room.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, yes.
Everybody contributes what they can.
Yeah, well, you said it. It's not fair for someone who has the master bedroom and bath to pay the same as the person who has the tiny square.
Yeah. And with an ex of mine, we lived together. I didn't contribute monetarily because I couldn't. But I then was like, well, what can I do? I cooked. I cleaned.
To do the shopping.
Yeah, do the shopping. I made. I did like a lot of the stuff that he... I tried to, because I consider that work to be valuable.
Yes.
Right? So that was my contribution to the household.
Yeah.
Right?
If you agree upon that and if it works out, you have to do something.
You got
to
do something. But you can't be like, I want a piece of your house.
Well, unless.
Because I might be living here for a year.
Yeah.
And then what?
Oh, yeah, I guess. So
You know what? You could have the spare room when you leave.
Yeah. I guess they had to like buy it together.
Yeah, if they got the mortgage, because remember this guy is responsible for this mortgage and this property. She's not. She could just roll out at any time. All right, let's see what the other
side. Okay, let's see.
It's a robust discussion. This is a good one, Katrina. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. It's juicy, but also like I've seen this in Hoboken a lot. And they actually had like advertisements for it. They're like, he gave you a key to his place, and he wants you to move in. And it's like, it's his place that he bought. He's got the whole, she's paying his mortgage. And God knows what's going to happen down the line.
Well, you have to think about that.
Yeah.
You know? You have to. I think also, too, if this is already a problem, then there's other problems in the relationship. Yeah. Because my ex and I, we each had our own property. And when things didn't work out, we didn't have a problem. I was like, you take yours, I'll take mine. And then there was some sweat equity. So he was like, I'll give you a little extra for sweat equity. And amicable.
Yeah.
Right? So
yes,
it can, okay. You know, people can be reasonable. Let's see.
Okay. So the advice, if you move in with someone and the house is only in that person's name, you usually have no rights to own any of it unless you can prove that you have contributed to the deposit of the mortgage payments or have made some other financial commitment.
Oh, mic drop.
Such as paying for the renovations.
Yeah.
And it was agreed that you would own a share of the home. Okay. I added that. Okay.
No, that was you. Okay. Yeah. Editorializing.
The fact that your partner is talking in terms of charging you rent rather than suggesting you share the cost of the mortgage and other bills makes it very clear that he doesn't want you to have any claims on the property.
Yes. And I would do that if it were the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
I would put this is like a gender free thing. This is like a financial thing.
Yes. So no, I don't think that you'll be able to get anything in return for paying him monthly rent unless he agrees that you will, which I very much doubt.
You're just paying rent. So you get a place to live.
Yes. However, as your partner has decided to treat you as a lodger, it seems only fair that you get a room to call your own in exchange for the rent you pay.
Oh, that's not a bad idea.
Yes. Kind of weird. Discussing how much you would pay, it would be worth pointing out if any rent above X amount is taxable, whereas splitting the bills wouldn't be. So you have to think about all these things, too, and how you're going to claim it.
Wow. I think when Greg and I moved together, we just did 50-50.
Did you?
But we're not litigious, money-grubbing people.
Yeah.
And I feel, not saying that this woman is, but like I said, if this is already a concern, maybe you guys shouldn't be living together.
And I lived with a boyfriend. Everything was 50-50. And then,
but did he own the place?
No, it was my place.
Okay. All right.
But it was renting. It was all renting.
Okay. So that makes sense. You guys are like roommates. It's, you know.
It's, yeah, like that. But he made so much more than me. And that's how it was. But he also then.
That's awkward. It's your place. If you moved into his place, you might have gotten a deal.
Mm-hmm.
But by him moving into your place, you had the lease on this.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like 50-50, I feel like, makes a little more sense because you could kick him out at any moment.
Right. But also, he would pay for, like, groceries. Like, this was kind of just
how he made it up on.
Yeah, we didn't agree to anything. He just kind of did it. He was like, oh, I'll go grocery shopping, get the groceries. Would take me out.
Mm-hmm. So he's contributing in other ways.
Yeah, that way.
That sounds like a good relationship.
Yeah.
Right? So while I suggested it's something for you guys to discuss, at a certain point, like, you should just kind of be on similar pages.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? In the same chapter with each other.
Right. Right, and if they decide to make it legal, or if they want to, like, be partners in a house or buy more properties. Mm-hmm.
Which I would not ever do.
No.
No. I feel like, I mean, unless you're married, I feel like you should you can go in on something together, but I would never, no, I would give your own property, his own property, her own property, whatever, until you guys are seriously ready to get everything together. Only because in some states, like DC is a 50-50 state, but in some places it's very hard to get out of these things, even if it's amicable.
Yeah.
Even if it's like, say we get a house together and I'm like, you know what? I don't want any part of this. Let's just split it 50-50. Yeah. It could cost us lots of money just to get it through the courts.
God.
You know? And then where are you?
Yeah.
Or the other person could get litigious and get weird with it.
Yeah.
Try to fight you for it. Yeah. All right. That was a good one. Thank you.
Thank you, Katrina.
So I have some penis news.
Oh, here it is.
That's the new
the
jingle
music for it. And this is quite his favorite segment.
Yeah, my favorite segment was penises in the news, dick updates, scrotum stories. So we've been reporting on relentlessly the saga of firefighters having to deal with removing items from gentlemen's Johnsons.
Obviously.
So finally, in Germany, they have decided to have firefighters undergo training on how to remove butt plugs and penis rings. Because they have to do it anyway.
Yeah.
And these guys, it's Germany. And they're probably like, you know what?
We just
want to know how to do it.
Yeah.
Do this right. The German way.
Yeah.
Right? So
their German work ethic, yes.
So there's at a training event in Dresden, 600 firefighters oh, to be a fly on the wall.
I know. Oh, God.
We're shown how to get to grips with a stuffed sex toy. Bizarre images from the seminar show a dildo emerging through a heat shield blanket with a penis ring stuck on it. So I guess that's what they do. They cover the person with the heat shield blanket. It was called Mechanical Failures.
Oh, God.
Was the name of the training.
All right.
And they learned how to remove the ring without harming the dildo in this case. Right. So the instructor, can you imagine this poor guy? Oh. Honey, what are you doing today? You don't want to know. And that's a huge, that's a lot of people for a training. This guy must be dynamic. Eric Forsberg, 39, explains, sensitivity and delicate work counts. Here's the science part of it. The firefighters were first shown how to bandage the penis to avoid further injury from the flying sparks. And then they apply a paste. Now, this is fascinating. That will absorb up to 4,000 degrees Celsius.
No kidding.
So this is how these penises get out of here unscathed.
Wow. But what happens to the part underneath the device that is...
Well, they cover the penis with this paste.
Oh, so the paste must work its way under.
Yeah, the paste works its way around the thing. And then they spread it all over the thing.
Okay.
Right, all over the penis ring, or whatever they have it, bottle, whatever the penis is stuck on. The whole thing, they said, should take about 15 minutes. I imagine them being like, go! Go, it's German. One 36-year-old trainee said, Matthias Lengick. This is Germany. I love how they just put the whole name.
Yeah.
Where they're from, the name. There's no embarrassment here. The training is not fun at all for us, but rather requires the utmost concentration. The patient is often in enough pain after all. The training comes in response to a surge in sex toy-related injuries. In recent months, they've been called to free a crochet needle from a man's urethra, a penis trapped in a bottleneck, and even a case involving an apple inserted into a man's buttocks.
I'm still can't get over the crochet hook.
I don't want to even think about it. One weightlifter in Worms, Rhineland, Palatinate State, what a place to live, spent 3 hours having his penis removed from the center hole of an iron weight. The 5.5-pound weight had to be shattered using a grinder and then cut up with a vibrating saw. Forsberg, the instructor, this guy is probably, I imagine he's like, they just called me in because I've done like 6 of these things.
Yeah.
Like, I'm as expert as you're going to get.
Yeah.
It's the Forsberg method.
Trial by fire.
Forsberg explained, last time we had a man who couldn't get his finger out of a bowling ball. In another case, we had to remove a penis ring in a hospital. So these guys, it's not just dicks stuck in things. It's guys' fingers stuck in things as well. Come on, guys.
Get stuck. Come on. Things and things.
It's fascinating. So this is how it's done. We always wanted to know. First, they cover the person with a heat shielding, kind of like a Kevlar thing.
Okay.
Right? Leaving the member and whatever it's on sticking out of it. And then they put this paste on that absorbs the heat and, you know, keeps the sparks from getting everywhere. Mm-hmm. And then they just start cutting whatever it is. It's fascinating. I would love to see this video. I'm going to search and see. I'm just curious to see this training. What a training.
Wow.
Pretty cool, huh? Wow.
It's like when all these boys were little, did they ever think that this is what they'd be doing?
No, they thought they'd be putting out fires and getting cats out of trees and, you know, looking hot in the supermarket.
Mm-mm. The supermarket,
you know. So yeah, how to remove? How does someone get an apple up their butt? That's crazy.
An apple?
Yes. They couldn't cut it out.
Right.
I don't know. I have no idea.
That must hurt.
I'm a very naive person. I'll put it that way. And on that end, I hope to stay naive about it.
I know. It's like,
gentlemen, no.
Some things you can't.
I guess it's just curious. There's no equivalent for women. Like, all of those stories that you hear out there, no. Mm-hmm. No one ever got, like, a hot dog or a Coke bottle. Those are all urban legends.
Yeah.
You know? There's just not that kind of curiosity. No. All right, what do you have?
Yeah, right. We don't, like.
No. Hey, I'm going to put my tit on this thing. No.
No.
You ever saw someone with their tit stuck to, like, an icy, like, pole or something?
Yeah, right.
And like a flagpole, like,
I don't know.
Look at Beth, what an asshole. It never happened. It never happened.
We don't do this.
We just don't do it. Maybe some dudes just can't help it. It's like,
minutes.
You know?
So.
I don't know.
I don't know either. All right, I have another listener email.
Oh, cool.
Okay, this one is from Sid.
All right. Hey, Sid, what's going on?
Hey there.
Time to play it.
Hey, she writes, hey, Jaquetta and Katie, this is from Boston Dynamics, who should have changed their name to Skynet already.
Ugh.
Comes their latest efforts towards making robots that can kill us all.
Why?
I only wish this was a joke.
Stay
safe out there, Sid.
I feel like these same people probably get their penises stuck in bowling balls from time to time. They're just doing things they're compelled to do.
So Boston Dynamics is the company that
brought us the gooseneck dog, the guy that runs. Spot Mini, but then also the robot that will let Spot Mini out.
Yeah, that's Atlas.
Atlas.
Okay, have you seen how terrifying Atlas has become?
I saw a piece of the video and I just couldn't.
Okay. Now, what can he do? Atlas has the ability to navigate dynamic outdoor terrain. That means
Boston Dynamic?
The speedy evolution of Atlas over the past few years have been impressive and unnerving. A few short years ago, the company revealed its first iteration of the robot, precariously learning how to balance.
Yeah, I remember that. Okay. And they poked it with a stick. Yeah.
Well, things kicked up a notch with a video revealing the robot's newfound ability to swiftly nail a complete backflip. Have you seen the backflip one?
No, I don't want to watch that. Is it attached to anything or is it on its own now?
It's on its own and it can do a total backflip and it looks like a human doing it too.
Why?
Then we can watch Atlas take, now this is the latest, Atlas takes a casual jog through the woods.
Does he?
Yes. But then he gets to a log and has to jump over it.
And he does.
Yes. But the running is terrifying because it looks totally real and you're like, wow, this thing can run after me.
Yep.
But it gets to the log and it looks like me jumping over a log.
The slow down steady and stuff. It's like, hop.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
So it's hilarious and scary.
I honestly think this is a really, really bad idea. I'll follow up with why this is a bad idea, because I found this thing.
I know, but thank you, Sid, sending this. It's indeed.
Thank you
die.
Is possibly not the right word. I'm terrified. This is cyborg fingers combine robotics with living cells. So what they have done here is that they have fashioned a cyborg with skeletal muscle tissues that they have grown, which are then fixed to flexible material to contract and expand.
Yeah.
Right? So these are opposing, what do they call them? Antagonistic pairs of muscles. So one, just like we have, one expands and one contracts.
Okay.
This is the beginning of a full-on cyborg. So they're able to grow. You know, they're working on growing hearts, they're working on growing muscles, and they want to attach those things to kind of a skeleton that is made out of metal, and the whole thing is going to become Terminator.
Mm-hmm.
So this is it. This is the day, people. It is, I don't know, Monday, 8:23 in the studio. Ugh. This is the beginning of it. It's they're doing it in Tokyo. So at first they had put together, it's called a biohybrid. They have a robotic finger joint that they made first, and it was getting really tired because it was doing the same motion over. So they made the opposing motion to it with another muscle on the other side. It says, once affixed to a robotic skeleton, electrodes are used to induce muscle contractions. This is also known as movement, right? In tests, the robotic fingers delicately placed a ring onto a target. So they put a ring on it. That was the first thing that happened. And a pair of robots worked together to pick up a square frame. The robots functioned properly for over a week. The new experiment showed that the method works and that the muscles could flex in like a finger. And they could move at least up to a 90-degree angle.
Wow.
So
that's scary as well, hell.
Yep. I really don't think... I feel like this is Jurassic Park style where it's like, yeah, we're doing it, but should we? Do we even understand where this technology is going to go? And it can only go to one place. If you're making this kind of stuff, I don't know who you think you're getting your money from. It's just the military, right? Yeah. Who else?
Yeah.
Who else has the money?
And the like,
and the gall and the technology to put all that stuff together.
Yeah.
They probably think they're creating... I imagine these scientists are like, we're creating a cure for death, people, is what you're creating we're in the creating, lab.
Yeah, you know? It's really... It all goes to the military. And it has to be then commercialized.
I don't want it. I don't need it for anything. It could only be for the military as people like, I don't know, capitalists?
Yeah.
Like people who have factories. But for the rest of us, we don't need any of this stuff. Yeah. It's bizarre. Very unnerving. Good luck.
Did you see the video of the little cat that kicked... that directed the Roomba?
Yes! Okay, so when I saw that video, okay, you get maybe for those who haven't seen it.
All right, there was two cats sitting there, I presume, talking to each other.
Yeah, chilling.
And a Roomba comes to the side of the cat.
Mm-hmm.
The cat, without any, like, just without even a thought or a look, sticks out its leg and just tweaks the Roomba to turn it in the other direction. Like, already knew what the Roomba could do.
Didn't even say to the other cat, excuse me? No. Didn't even stop.
Didn't miss a beat.
Didn't, just kept purring, was like, whatever.
Yeah, it was just kind of like...
I was like, oh, this bitch.
Yeah, it's so, just anyway. Like shooing away a fly. I'm talking to you and I shoo away a fly. Shooed away the Roomba.
I saw another one where there's a cat taking a nap and the Roomba approaches it and the cat refuses to move.
Yeah.
Until the Roomba goes another direction.
Well.
The cat's just like, I don't know. I am catnapping. I don't know what you're doing or what you think this is or where you think this is going to go. Oh, cats might be our only hope. We've already floated it out there that they might be God.
Yeah.
And they're probably looking at me and be like, you have us. These assholes are trying to come up with a cyborg.
Yeah, right?
It's going to be. Keep doing it.
The robo apocalypse will happen and cats will have to save us.
Mm-hmm. Maybe cats will probably just get inside and eat. tissue is.
Yeah, tear your paw at the
virus. Say that the robots are immune to everything, but cat urine.
Yeah. It's like, please, spray your urine. The cat's like, later, maybe.
Or they'll see the videos of cats thwarting early robots and be like, just work around them.
Yeah.
Just work around them.
Yeah.
All right, what do you have?
Well, I think we need a little fun.
Okay.
Because we talked a lot about death.
Yeah.
And scary robots. Things and robots and penises gone awry.
Well, these are penises freed, given new life. That was hopeful.
But it's still the summertime. We need to do a couple of fun things here. So let's talk about dating.
All right. In the summer.
Dating in the summer. What you could do. Some things in the summer.
What? So is this if you're starting it? Like, what do you, like, what kind of
dating?
So
I've got 15 fun, cheap dates.
Thank goodness it's not just one. So 15 cheap date ideas.
Okay, well, first there's the chocolate date.
Huh? Pick a local, summertime?
Yeah, go to a local artisanal chocolate shop and choose a few treats.
That is not cheap.
Then go to a park and sit down and enjoy.
The melted treats.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but I went to buy some chocolates at a place in Grand Central, and I only got, like, 6 of them. I think they relieved me of, like,
$30. Yeah.
This is not a cheap date, unless you're hooking up with some Hershey's.
Yeah.
You know, it's not cheap.
I tell you, somebody put in, like, a candy dispenser in the kitchen at work.
Mistake.
And it's like, I am that B.F. Skinner rat that loves to turn, a knob and get a prize. I don't care what's in
there.
Is it
one of those? It's the turn ones?
Anything. I'll turn a knob to get a prize.
That's how the robot's going to get you.
I swear to God, I'm the worst.
Don't turn this knob.
If I could go and buy, like, say, like a soda at a counter or go to a vending machine, I love the vending machine.
You love the vending machine.
I love putting the thing in and pressing a button. And
beep. You hear that, overlords?
Anyway, then here is another date idea, the cool coffee date.
Okay. Is there a shitty coffee date?
Pick a local independent coffee shop. A lot of independent coffee shops have art exhibits, and that could be a fun way to explore and to talk.
Are there any local coffee shops left?
I don't think so.
I'm trying to think of... Well, there's one that just opened up in my area, but seriously, it was so expensive, I just left.
Yeah.
They wanted $5
for
a coffee, and I was like, I really can't.
And they're usually like 8x5,
mm-hmm.
and they have tables that I'm like, enjoy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
No.
Local events date. Holidays and summer weekends are full of local events.
Yes, but in New York, you can't go to them because everyone and their sister is there.
I know. It's how about a free movie in the park or an art walk or a free concert?
Get there early.
Everybody's there.
Everyone's fucking there.
And wear a diaper.
Yes. Have you ever tried to see a movie at Bryant Park? Forget about it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
It's a Thursday movie. You better leave now.
You could cook at home. That's a date. Cook a meal together for each other if you're comfortable enough to invite each other over.
I was going to say, because that leads basically to boning.
The bedroom's right there.
Yeah, the bedroom's right there.
The
We're having a picnic in the bedroom.
Pull a recipe from the internet and make sure it has good reviews. Ask each
other. I'm going to do the one-star grilled cheese. One star.
Ask each other if you have any food allergies or anything they don't like. Put on some music and light a candle. Romantic. Et voilà. Romantic dinner for two.
That sounds extremely romantic. Et voilà.
And a picnic in the park date.
Okay.
Bring sandwiches, drinks, and some chocolate. Throw a frisbee. Get to know each other.
Again, these are all things that in New York that can cost you a fortune.
I know. The exercise date.
Huh?
Do you both like to run or hike or walk?
That sounds like a chore. Go for a walk is a nice day.
Get a smoothie afterwards. I don't know.
Mm.
No. Orchard picking date. Go pick berries. No, don't go pick a berry. You know what? There's all bugs.
Where are you going to do that? In New York, you can't rent a car. Is
right.
Jamba Juice still around? You said get a smoothie.
Yeah.
Remember that place?
Yeah.
They had like a 64-ounce juice. It was 1,000 calories.
It's like,
just sugar.
Yeah, all sugar.
One berry on top.
But if you have pick the berries, then you can bake a pie together.
Huh? Wow, this is one hell of a date. Do you know how hard it is to make a crust? You better practice that one. Doesn't always turn out the way you think.
Check out local bands and see who's playing and where. There's a lot of free venues for bands that are trying to break out and be seen.
Whoa. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's a risky one.
And there's
Could
a breakfast
good.
Date.
You know what I always say is a good cheap date, and Greg and I still do this? Go see an improv show.
Yeah.
It's only 45 minutes. They're usually like $10.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're never going to be that bad.
Yeah.
And then it's over.
Yeah.
It's, you know.
Yeah, you can usually, a lot of the places in New York, you could drink beer.
Yeah, you can get like
wine.
A cheap wine.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, God. Here's one that I vigorously say no to.
No, the finger wag.
The swimsuit date.
Huh? I'm sorry, that sounds like a Seinfeld episode.
Invite your date over to swim at your local pool or near a swimming hall.
That way you can see what's going on.
Right. Yeah, hint. It's a great way to preview what may be your future if you get serious.
It's a speedo date.
I would just splash in the water. Ah! Like a maniac. That's what you have. That's what your future is.
It's a speedo.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Hey, here you go. Are you wearing trunks? Oh, no. It's a European pool.
Yeah, men adore a woman confident enough to throw on a swimsuit for a date. Sexy is all about confidence, not the hard body or tan.
No, I'm not going on a swimsuit date.
I'm not either.
Mm-mm.
Road trip date.
Huh? It sounds like abduction.
Yeah, but it also costs money.
Where are you going?
Hey, where are you going? You have to buy snacks.
A road trip? Okay, fine.
Yes. As you date and get to know each other better, you could talk about what you both enjoy doing.
Wow. On the date? Wow.
Yeah.
So. Oh, my God. Well, this is fun, I think, since we're being up.
Yeah.
So they found a lost continent of Zealandia.
What is
Didn't
that?
Didn't know what, like,
what?
Scientists returned from expedition to sunken land.
What?
Sorry. Scientists returned from expedition to sunken land. I read that incorrectly. Scientists returned from expedition to sunken land.
Okay.
This happened last year, and I didn't know about it.
There was sunken land?
After a 9-week voyage to study the lost submerged content of Zealandia.
This sounds like a made-up place.
I know.
In a Pixar movie.
It's in South Pacific, a team of 32 scientists from 12 countries has arrived back in Tasmania. Researchers affiliated with the International Ocean Discovery Program, otherwise known as the IODP,
mm-hmm.
mounted the expedition to explore Zealandia. It's a collaboration of scientists. So Zealandia is a sunken continent long lost beneath the oceans.
Really?
It's giving up its 60-million-year-old secrets through scientific ocean drilling, says Jamie Allen, program director of the U.S. National Science Foundation's Division of Ocean Sciences, which supports IODP. Expedition offers insights into Earth's history, ranging from mountain building in New Zealand to the shifting sea movements of the Earth's tectonic plates and changes in ocean circulation and global climate. So I love this kind of stuff, and I can't believe I didn't hear about it. The most exciting thing for this...
Well, you were busy.
I guess so.
You had things to do.
I didn't have my radar was off. So more than 8,000 specimens were studied and several hundred fossil species identified in the sunken...
Oh, wow.
...continent.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's discovery of microscopic shells and organisms that lived in warm, shallow seas, spores from...
Oh, my God.
...pollen that reveal the geography.
Spores?
Spores. Yep.
I'm afraid now. What if they... To bring some up to room temperature.
Well, it's not. I mean, they weren't that far beneath. Okay. No, okay. New discovery show that the formation 50 million years ago of the Ring of Fire. So these are things that I love. I can't believe I didn't hear about this. An active seafloor zone along the perimeter of the Pacific Ocean caused dramatic changes in ocean depth and volcanic activity that buckled the seabed of Zealandia and I guess causing it to thereby sink. So I had not heard about this, the sunken land of Zealandia. I'm going to have to look into it. It sounds really exciting to me to see what they find out. I don't know why this wasn't. Maybe there was something else going on. What was going on in September of last year? Inauguration? It got submerged just like this continent in a mountain of uninteresting news. So Zealandia. Very cool.
Well, that's exciting.
Oh, yeah.
I proclaim myself queen. Yeah, Zealandia.
I want to. There's got to be a documentary or something about this.
I hope.
See, this is the kind of stuff that our government is spending money on that they should tell people about, so we wouldn't feel so sour and salty all the time.
Yeah,
about what they're doing.
Sour and salty.
It's like, look, we found something with your money. It's like, good, finally, and it's international.
Yes.
All right. What do you have?
Let's see.
The gems of yesteryear.
Yes. Well, I have some tales from the campfire.
Ooh. Tales from Dear Campfire is a segment where we find stories on the internet, ghost stories, scary stories, tales of the paranormal.
Horror.
Yes, and we retell them here around the digital campfire, so please.
Gather around, listeners.
Just gather around.
Okay. All right. One night when I was 10, I was woken up by my bedroom door opening.
Okay.
Followed by someone sitting on my bed. I felt my leg grazed and my bed sink under the person's weight.
Huh?
Thinking it was my mom, I opened my eyes to see an eyeless boy.
Ew.
He had black empty sockets.
Mm-hmm.
About my age, sitting at the foot of my bed. He extended his hand and in it was a little box.
Girl, to open it. It's not what you think it is.
I was startled, but I reached out.
He Why? Taking all bets. It's a diamond ring. It's a finger. It's an eye. All bets.
All bad news.
Yes.
He pulled back. I reached again and said, give it.
Really? No. I'd be like, you know what? Get the stepping, fool.
Then I blinked, and when I reopened my eyes, he was gone, but the imprint of someone sitting on my bed was present.
Mm-hmm. He's still there.
Fast forward 5 years. Huh? My girlfriend.
Really?
I know.
Right?
These guys for you. You know, like, whatever. He wouldn't give me the thing.
Yeah. 5 years later.
5 years later, my girlfriend came over to do homework. After she finished, she took a nap while she waited for her parents.
Huh? Hmm?
When they arrived, I tried waking her up. She opened her eyes suddenly, looked up at the corner where the wall met the ceiling. She pointed there and went back to sleep.
That's where the wall meets the ceiling, all right.
I shook her again. She came to full consciousness and explained what she... And I explained what she'd done. She said, up on that wall, I saw a little boy with no eyes. He was there in a Spider-Man pose, staring at me. I was freaked out when I told her my story about the same kid. Now, fast forward another 5 years.
Wait, stop. What is a Spider-Man pose?
Imagine Spider-Man on the wall. He's like old
crouched. Oh, crouched. Okay. Yeah.
So fast forward another 5 years. I was with the same girlfriend.
Oh, that's nice.
And we had a 2-year-old.
Well, that, wow.
20? They're 20 years old.
Okay.
Oh, so they got, if they're 20, then they were 18 when they had the baby, or they got pregnant.
And then he was 13 when he saw the kid for the first time. Does that make sense?
No, he was 10.
He was 10.
And then 5 years.
5 years and then 5 years. Okay.
Okay. We were living in my parents'.
This is why you started in media res.
Oh, no. That's why, no, they were pregnant at 17. The baby was born 2 years old, 20.
Okay.
What'd you say? This is why we start.
Media res. Let's just get going. I feel like it's just a Dean Devlin movie at this point. 5 years earlier. 10 years earlier.
We were living in my parents' house in my old room.
Oh. Of course.
My daughter started waking up at the same time every night, and she'd talk. After a while, I noticed she had almost the same conversation every night. I playfully asked her once whom she was talking to.
Mm-hmm.
She said, it's a little boy. He's nice. He's lost and looking for his mommy.
He ain't got no eyes.
My daughter's nightly conversations continued until we got our own place later that year.
That's creepy.
Isn't that creepy?
I like that one, though. Ah, lovely tale. From Der Campfire, no less.
Hey, you know it is a free podcast, free of charge, FOC.
Free as a bird, free falling even. Well, it's free for listeners.
We put a lot of hard work into this.
Editing and online hosting is frankly thirsty work. It gets pretty dry in this studio. And you know we love a tasteful white wine. If you like our style, consider buying the gal a drink. We've added a PayPal donation button to heyyouknowit.com so you can show us some love with a one-time or recurring donation to cover a little something from the vine.
For $5, you'll be hooking us up with a happy hour glass of tasteful white wine, a 4-ounce pour. For a 10 spot, we can split a bottle of wine from the bodega across the street. For $15, we can kick it with a jug, because who are we kidding? For $25, you'll be making our dreams come true with a box of tasteful white wine concealed with a Mylar skin, box of wine. A listener email.
Okay. From my husband, Greg.
Hey. Hey, Greg.
He probably said this in a while ago. I was like, why the hell haven't you
I know.
Profiled this?
It was in my jewelry box.
Okay, it was in the chestnut pile.
Yeah. So, South Park versus Robo-Apocalypse.
Okay. This is a show I don't watch.
Okay.
I don't find them funny.
Right. So everyone, you know what South Park is.
Yeah, I've seen it,
The cartoon kids. It's a
low-budget animation with the round-faced kids.
Yeah. And so, they do crass things and funny things.
They live in Colorado. They're very timely.
The creators of this cartoon exposed a vulnerability in smart home devices, Amazon Echo and Google Home.
None of these are allowed in my home ever.
Ever. No.
And if you have them in your home, you need to put up a sign letting me know before I come in.
Yes.
So then I can not come in.
So these devices basically listen. Mm-hmm. Well, you're supposed to prompt them, and then they turn on and listen to your conversation. But they're listening.
Sure, they're listening the whole time.
Jeff
Bezos. Elon.
Elon Musk. Go to Mars already. Stay off the moon. Go directly past the moon.
I heard Elon is getting some shade. Apparently people aren't liking what he's doing. He can't believe this is happening to him.
Poor guy.
Yeah, I know. I hope you'll be okay.
So, in this episode of South Park, at various points during the episode, the show's characters would call out to the voice-activated devices and activate alarms, add unwanted things to users' shopping lists, and get AI assistants to repeat vulgar phrases.
Really?
Yeah. The episode underscored long-running concerns about the devices. For example, researchers in China figured out how to control voice-activated home devices by transmitting high-frequency sounds that are nearly inaudible to humans.
Well, no shit. Has anyone seen Maxwell Smart? Get Smart?
Mm-hmm.
come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. And this is the thing. They are
people aren't even thinking.
Yeah.
Like, we watch so much science fiction, and no one's even thinking about how insidious this stuff is. Obviously. I mean, what's more evil than a marketer? You know what I mean? Come on.
And that's the thing. There are so many. And I saw something else on the news where they were talking about
these
high-pitched noises that are we can't even hear, that are getting into all our data.
Yeah.
Accessing things.
So you can tell passwords. Where people are, what's happening.
We can't even trace it. It's just.
I find it interesting because I thought I was really connected digitally, but we're older.
Yeah.
So I've got the Facebook account that I use minimally. Mm-hmm. I have Twitter and I have Instagram. You know, I do some online banking and I do emailing. But that's the extent of my connectivity, and it's fairly minimal.
Yeah.
But if you're a young person, everything that you do is integrated with all these things. I'm still reading the books, printed books.
Yeah.
I read The Economist, the print edition. Like a lot of my life is still very analog.
Mm-hmm.
I don't listen to Like, I've listened to a streaming music a couple times, but for the most part, it's just, like, what's on my phone or, like, the radio. Like, very, very low tech. These Alexa, there's not, I don't even think the things I have in my house would work with any of these devices.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, my stuff is just kind of very old fashioned. But I also don't see a need for Alexa. What is Alexa going to do?
It's just so you don't have to type anything in. You could just talk and it happens.
What is it that I'm typing in that I don't have time to do?
Yes, exactly.
Like, it works for me. I use Siri for the timer when I'm cooking because that's when I can't pick up things. And, you know, because I have flour on my hand or whatever. And I say, set a timer for 20 minutes. Or if I'm driving, I'll say, Siri, navigate to such and such a place. But that's pretty much it.
People who have vision problems.
Yes, but that's already been in existence as far as I know, that a lot of programs are already very accessible. Mm-hmm. But aside from that, I don't know. Nothing in my house is, so I see a lot of commercials for like smart surveillance systems in your home. Ain't nothing in my apartment to surveil. Like, I'm not, you know what I mean? I'm not interested. I don't care. You know, I don't need that. My blinds are manual.
You know what's the really, one of the scarier ones that can go either way is Ring. Have you seen that? That is the surveillance that hooks right to your smartphone.
No.
What does it do? So you could put up a little camera somewhere, anywhere, outside your home. It's really for basically outside.
So you can see what's happening in Hoboken.
Yeah. So if someone is trying to break into your house.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can even, through your phone, through a speaker on the camera, be like, get out of here. And whoever is breaking into your home is going to get scared. You can, like, turn on lights.
I mean, I guess until they figure that out.
Yeah.
I feel like it's the kind of thing where, you know, when you see, like, the crime has been committed and they show it, like, on the news. And you're like, that could be anybody.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if it's for stuff that's after the fact, I don't know. I just don't. I just don't see the need for it.
You know what? This is the worst thing. Like, and I'm going to say guys would do this, put the camera in their bedroom, and then, like, all their friends can see what's going on. They're
already doing that.
I know. But still, like, with this one particular one.
I'm really about, like, if I have a problem that needs to be solved by technology, then I will seek out an item. But I haven't yet been so busy or incapacitated to the point where I have to ask Alexa where I should go on my next vacation because that's what I saw in the ad.
Yeah.
It's like where should I go sailing next summer? Yeah. Show me. It's like, no.
Look it up yourself.
I get magazines for that. I'm not so put upon by my daily life that I can't do those things. A lot of the things that Alexa does, I enjoy doing myself.
Mm-hmm.
Like reading a magazine and discovering new places.
Yeah. I know, but go figure.
I'm good with that.
And reading paper books, not electronic screens at night, helps you get a better sleep.
I was really excited when the e-readers came out, like really excited. Mm-hmm. And now I find myself migrating back to books.
Yeah.
I mean, I sometimes read stuff. Sometimes I have things on my Kindle. Of course, I have things on my Nook. But I do really like books because when the plane's about to take off, they ask you to put away your device. Guess what? I don't have to put away my book.
Yeah.
And I'm also not afraid that my book is going to get wet.
Yeah.
Or when I'm done with my book, I can give it to somebody, like the steward, whoever's working, or I can leave it at the resort or whatever.
And so somebody else is going to enjoy it.
Somebody else can enjoy it. But yeah, the having a listening device in the home, I feel like that's a little far afield.
And I always like the joy of a book. Like, I was taught to read a book in a way you looked at the front and back cover, you looked at the first few pages.
Yeah, to figure out if you like it or not.
No, just to see when it was printed, how many times it's been in print. Yeah. What are the special messages from the author? What's in the back? You know, just kind of check
it. Has it updated prologue? Is there some, foreword? Like, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and read a little bit about the author. Now, page one. It's such a nicer experience. It's like really sitting down and sitting down and having a nice dinner almost.
I see a lot of young people actually still reading paper books. Yeah. So I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like if for a kid, it's probably safer and easier for you to be dealing with a book than to be dealing with like a $400 tablet.
Yeah.
That something could happen to. Yeah. In any case, yeah, I have no Alexa. What's the other one? Echo?
Echo, Amazon,
whatever. Amazon, whatever. None of those things. No thanks.
With their stupid high-pitched noises that I can't hear.
So bizarre.
Getting into my bank account.
They already did accidentally record someone's conversation and send it to, like, everyone who was in their address book.
Yeah. Yep.
So, and that we only heard about that.
Yeah.
Right? So who knows what other things are going on. I'm not even sure what kind of information they're trying to get. I still cannot get jeans that fit me properly.
Yeah.
I am 5 feet tall. I don't think I'm that weird. I don't have that weird of a figure. Why aren't they solving that problem?
Yeah. I had a friend who somehow the cloud downloaded somebody else's wedding album into his photo album.
How embarrassing.
It's got pictures of somebody else's wedding. He's like, how did I explain that? Yeah.
How would he explain it to somebody? No one would believe that he didn't download that himself.
Yeah, but it's somebody else. It's like you suddenly.
Yeah, but it would be weird. I'd be like, what, are you stalking these people? Like, what's going on? Right. He's like, no, I never downloaded it. Oh, it just downloaded itself. Ralph, yeah. Is that what happened? Is that what you're saying? Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks. So, Tales from Dirt Campfire is a segment where we find tales on the internet of the paranormal, space stories. Is it space? What the fuck? That's what I mean. Tales from Dirt Campfire.